Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's letter to the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." In Christ Jesus, whose last will and testament was to bestow upon us his supper, in which we receive forgiveness of sins, everlasting life and salvation through his shed blood. Dear fellow redeemed, a lesson on remembrance. Every one of our object lessons of our Savior's passion has taught us a lesson. Last Sunday, we reviewed those objects and the lessons that we learned. This evening's objects are the bread and the wine. And the lesson is a lesson on remembrance. But what are we to remember? Well, first of all, we should remember the Passover that Jesus celebrated, the night in which he was betrayed, the night before he was crucified upon the cross. Remember Jesus' Passover when he was a little child? The 12-year-old Jesus went to the temple with his mother and stepfather. No doubt that was a very memorable one that he had. Memorable probably because it was a time of his bar mitzvah occasion. 12-year-old child becoming an adult, a Jewish adult spiritually. But also, remember, he stayed behind and he talked with the chief priests and the scribes. But this one, on this night, which he was going to celebrate with his disciples before his suffering, made the other one pale in comparison. Jesus even said that in our first reading this evening, where Jesus said to his disciples, "With fervent desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." That's why this Passover is sometimes called the Last Supper. This particular Passover is so important for us Christians, not only because it was the last Passover Jesus partook of before his crucifixion, but because Jesus, at the end of this Passover, the old Passover, instituted the new Passover, the sacrament of the altar, the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. Every time we come to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we should remember back to this last Passover of our Savior. For in that last Passover, he describes for us what his supper is all about. Remember where the Passover was celebrated? God had the children of Israel on the 10th day of the month, 10th day of Nisan, to go into their herds, or their flocks, pick out a one-year-old male lamb, a perfect specimen of a lamb, no scabs, no broken bones, and then set it aside to the 14th. Then at twilight, about now, they were to kill it. And then they were to roast it and eat it. But take care not to break a bone. Then take the blood of that lamb and spread it upon the doorposts of their home. And that first Passover, that night, the angel of death came throughout Egypt and struck down the firstborn male of every human and animal family that did not have the blood on the doorposts, but on the doorposts of those who had the blood of the lamb, they were spared. They were saved. After that Passover, the Lord God commanded the Israelites to celebrate that Passover every year Why? To commemorate, to remember what God had done for them, how he set them free from the slavery of Egypt to finally go to the promised land. And so every year after that, they sacrificed the lamb, didn't put the blood on the doorposts, but did that for almost over 1,500 years. Over the years, the celebration of Passover boiled down to four different things. First of all, there was a preliminary meal, which consisted of a cup of wine, and a dish of bitter herbs and spices. And those bitter herbs would remind them of the bitterness of the slavery of their ancestors. Secondly, then, they would recite the Passover story and drink another cup of wine. Thirdly, they'd have the meal itself, the blessing of unleavened bread, eating of the lamb, some bitter herbs, another cup of wine. And then finally, they would sing some selected psalms. Well, Jesus and his disciples did this. They celebrated the Passover. And when they were done with that supper, Jesus took two of the elements from that supper and instituted his new supper. He took some of the unleavened bread, gave it to his disciples, and said to them, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he took the wine that was left over from the Passover, gave it to his disciples, and said to them, "Take, drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The Passover meal celebrated the sacrifice of the lamb that was slain to set the people free from the slavery of Egypt. The Lord's Supper is to celebrate the sacrifice of the Lamb of God who was slain to set us free from the slavery of sin and death. And even as the children of Israel were to every year celebrate the Passover, we throughout the year celebrate the Lord's Supper to remember what Jesus has done for us. So we should remember back to the Passover when we take the Lord's Supper. But we should more than that. We should remember all of what our Savior did for us. This evening, as we prepare to come to the Lord's Supper, we need to go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. We need to go back to where Jesus left his disciples and fell down on his knees and prayed so earnestly that his sweat was like great drops of blood falling to the ground. We need to remember how his disciple Judas betrayed him with a kiss, how he was arrested, tried by Annas and Caiaphas, beaten, mocked, spit on, buffeted, and then taken to Pontius Pilate, stripped of his clothes, whipped, crown of thorns crushed into his head. How he was convicted, first to carry his own cross, and then taken out and crucified. We need to remember that Christ, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed for us. Our Savior is very clear in his giving of this Lord's Supper what he wants us to do in this supper. He wants us to come to him to be fed, both physically, but especially spiritually. He feeds us with bread and wine, with our mouths. And then we, in a supernatural way, also receive, together with the bread and wine, his very body and blood, which he shed upon the cross. How can this be? How can this happen? Alone through God's word. We read in 1 Corinthians 10:16, where Paul describes the Lord's Supper. He said, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion," literally the participation, the gathering together with the blood of Christ? "The bread which you break, is it not the communion, the participation, the gathering together with the body of Christ?" Luther states in his large catechism, "It is, I affirm, the word that makes this sacrament what it is and distinguishes it from ordinary bread and wine. The word causes it to be Christ's body and blood, as it is rightly to be called. When the word is joined to the external element, it becomes a sacrament. Without God's word, this meal, this supper, would not be a sacrament. It's a word that gives meaning and power to the sacrament. The words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, shows that God gives forgiveness of sins, everlasting life and salvation through this sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The sacrament of the altar. Bread and wine don't forgive sins. Bread and wine don't strengthen our faith. God's word does. God's word connected with this bread and wine does that. Martin Luther also wrote, "These alone, we repeat, are the treasure through which the forgiveness was won for us. The treasure is communicated to us in no other way than through the words, given and shed for you. There you have the truth, both that this is Christ's body and blood, and that these are yours, a treasure and a gift that belongs to you. Christ's body can never be an unfruitful, vain thing that accomplishes nothing and benefits no one. Yet, however great the treasure may be in itself, it must be caught up by the word and handed to us through the word. Otherwise, we could never know about it or seek it. Therefore, it's absurd for them to say that one cannot have forgiveness of sins in the sacrament because the body and blood of Christ were given and shed for us elsewhere than in the Lord's Supper. For although the work was accomplished in forgiveness of sins acquired for us on the cross, yet the only way it can come to us is through the word. And that being true, it is incumbent upon us that we prepare ourselves before we come to this supper of our Lord. And what makes one prepared? Being good? Trying your best to be righteous? Only faith. Faith alone. We heard in our second scripture reading this evening from 1 Corinthians, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Again, we read in the small catechism, "A person is truly worthy and well prepared who has faith in these words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whoever does not believe these words or doubts them is unworthy and unprepared. The words, for you, require nothing but believing hearts." That's why it's so important for us to prepare ourselves to partake of this supper. First of all, we need to realize in preparing ourselves, examine ourselves, our great need for this treasure. Our great need for this blessing. On our own, by ourselves, we are lost, miserable, condemned sinners. We have not, we cannot meet God's demands of perfection, where He says, "You be holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy." So first of all, we need to come before the Lord and repent of our sins, which we'll be doing later this evening. Repent of our sins, asking the Holy Spirit to change our sinful life and to live according to His word. And then we'll seek the full and free forgiveness of our Savior Jesus Christ, being assured that in this sacrament we're receiving His very body and blood, which He shed for us, in order to cleanse us of all of our sins. A lesson on remembrance. So as we come to the supper tonight, we need to keep our eyes of faith focused upon Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus. Our Lord and Savior, who went the way of the cross for us, who willingly gave His life as a sacrifice for us, who shed His blood for you and me. And through the power of His word, His body and blood is present in, with, and under the bread and wine for us to eat and to drink. Again, the Old Testament Passover was celebrated as a memorial meal once a year for the people, the believers, to remember what God had done for them. Our Lord's Supper, celebrated throughout the year, also as a memorial meal to remind us what Jesus has done for us. Every time we partake of this Lord's Supper, we proclaim to the rest of the world that Jesus Christ gave His body and shed His blood for me, for you, and for all people. We remember His death, that pivotal, that crucial event upon which the salvation of every man, woman, and child depends. Every month we have this special opportunity to come to the supper, this meal of forgiveness for all of our sins. A monthly communion, a monthly participation, a monthly fellowship with the very body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. What an intimate union of faith in Jesus. Celebrating the Lord's Supper separates us from the rest of the world. It makes us, as believers, God's children, show that we walk in His footsteps, in the light of His Word. This blessed sacrament will help us to grow day by day in grace and holiness of living before God. And by partaking of it, we also confess to the whole world we belong to Jesus. May we be as zealous to partake of this supper as Jesus was to institute it for us. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.